brothers and sisters, it is so good to be with you back in the 28th Ward and see so many of you again. I forget how big this ward is. I'm used to a little branch. But it's wonderful to see you. Grateful to have our family and friends here. It means a lot. Claren and I were talking the other day and realized that out of the past 17 years that we've lived in our holiday home, we have served outside of the Brook Ward for over 11 years. We have been gone for about 7 years, so if we don't look very familiar, that would be why. Since many of you have moved here since we have been gone and do not know us, I'll tell you a little bit about us, and I hope the rest of you will bear with me and let you know how excited we are to go to serve in Ethiopia at Addis Ababa Mission. In February of 2019, we began a full-time mission serving the South Sudanese full-time living in our home in Salt Lake. We served there for 2.5 years. 3 months before our mission ended, we were able to have a branch formed in a ward in the West Mission. And the stake and president and the branch president asked us to stay in that branch, and that is where we've been ever since. All of this is because in 2001, Claren and I were able to welcome to the United States 4 young men who are considered to be 4 of the Lost Boys of Sudan. They had literally left their huts in Africa, boarded a plane, and stepped into a new planet. We were invited to watch them as they were taught how to navigate their new home that they had never had indoor plumbing or electricity. This was totally foreign to them. We saw how they had gotten off the plane with nothing but the clothes on their backs and a skinny little grocery-sized plastic bag with their documents. They had almost nothing, yet they were kind, happy, and grateful. This was life-changing for us. At the time, these boys didn't even know if their parents or families had survived the war that had forced them to flee from their homes 14 years before. Claren became a mentor and a friend to those 4 boys. Well, they were young men then. And it broadened to their friends and many, many more. Over the years, we've learned their survival stories and have watched them navigate their new lives here. Many of them believe in God because they know He is the only reason that they were able to make it to the last refugee camp. They freely admit the only reason they were able to survive their 1,000-mile epic journey was because God was with them. Claren and I have a great love for our African brothers and sisters. We were able to serve in the Swahili branch for 4 years, and now we look forward to serving our Ethiopian brothers and sisters. Ethiopia is about 8,000 feet in elevation, so it's a cooler climate. It's usually about 70 degrees during the day and about in the 50s at night. So we're hoping that this will work well with my migraines that are heat sensitive. Another big bonus for us is that some of our South Sudanese friends have friends and family that live in Ethiopia and want us to share the gospel with them. We have a lot of interesting things to look forward to in Ethiopia. We have been asked to talk about the talk given by President Russell M. Nelson in his October conference in 2024 when he said, "My dear brothers and sisters, do you see what is happening right before our eyes? I pray that we will not miss the majesty of the moment. The Lord is indeed hastening the work." Yes, indeed He is. Just watching how things happened during the when President Nelson was the prophet was very inspiring. We watched all these temples that are being built. And so many even on the Wasatch Front. I remember the time when there were only 12 temples and we wanted to go visit all of them. Times have changed. The church is bringing the temple closer to the people. When a temple is built close to another existing temple, you would think that the temple attendance over time would go down in the existing temple district. I found that interesting that the opposite is true. It just accelerates the work in both areas of the temple. Some have been asked why we need so many temples and why we're building so many. I love President Nelson's answer. Why are we building temples at such an unprecedented pace? Why? Because the Lord has instructed us to do so. Simple answer. The blessings of the temple help to gather Israel on both sides of the veil. These blessings also help prepare a people who will help prepare the world for the second coming of the Lord. In the temple, we receive protection from the buffetings of the world, which we can really use in these difficult times. We feel peace and spiritual assurance in contrast to all that's going on around us. We all probably remember that chilling story that President Nelson told us when he and his wife Wendy were visiting in a far country. Armed robbers broke into their room, put a gun to President Nelson's head, and pulled the trigger, but the gun did not fire. Throughout that experience, he said that both he and his wife felt an undeniable peace. President Nelson said that is the peace that passeth all understanding. Then he quoted from one of my favorite scriptures. President Nelson said, "Please listen to this promise of Jesus Christ to you." I love how personal he is. "I will be on your right hand and on your left, and my spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up." He says there is no limit to the Savior's capacity to help you. His incomprehensible suffering in Gethsemane and on Calvary was for you. His infinite atonement is for you, for all of us. President Nelson said, "The best is yet to come, my dear brothers and sisters, because the Savior is coming." And he says again, "The best is yet to come because the Lord is hastening the work." The best is yet to come as we fully turn the hearts, our hearts and lives to Jesus Christ. The work is hastening around the world. In January of 2025, the church had its highest number of missionaries, nearly 89,000. The highest number of convert baptisms recorded in the church in a 12-month period happened between July 2024 and June 2025. The gospel is going forward throughout the world, just as the prophet Joseph Smith prophesied that it would. On April 27, 1834, Wilfred Woodruff tells us, the prophet called on all who held the priesthood to gather into the small log house by the Johnson's farm. It is a small house, perhaps 14 square feet, but it held the whole of the priesthood of the Church of Jesus Christ, who were then in the town of Kirkland, and who had gathered to go off inside. Wilfred Woodruff recorded, "When we got together, the prophet called upon the elders of Israel with him to bear testimony of this work. When they got through, the prophet said, 'Brethren, you know no more concerning the destinies of this church and kingdom than a babe upon its mother's lap. You don't comprehend it.' He said, 'It is only a little handful of priesthood you see here tonight. But this church will fill North and South America. It will fill the world.'" That was a very bold statement for this young prophet to give, considering at the time there was only a handful of priesthood members in this very new church. We are seeing the fulfillment of that prophecy today and will see much more in the future. The gospel of Jesus Christ is exploding all over Africa, but not in Ethiopia. It is one of the oldest Christian nations. The Ethiopian people are very proud of their early Christian Orthodox heritage. The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was first introduced in Ethiopia around 1992, and they are praying that one day they will have a stake. We are excited to go to Ethiopia and to be a part of that work of gathering of Israel in that part of the vineyard. In closing, I would like to bear my testimony that Jesus Christ lives and he will come again and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know this to be true. He lives now, and he is in the very details of our lives. He knows each one of us by name and is lovingly waiting for our return to him. I know that Jesus Christ and his Son and our Father in heaven appeared to the boy Joseph in that sacred grove. Joseph Smith was the true prophet of the restoration. The Book of Mormon is true, and it was written by the power of God. Dallin H. Oaks is a true prophet today who has been held to and chosen to lead us in this particular time in the earth's history. And of these things I testify in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.